I'm not really like a fan of anything anymore.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to your favorite moments of every week. It's the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast, Under the Radar. With me, as always, my friend and yours, Ian Khan.
It's the baseball show.
Your friend of mine, Derek Van Riber.
Confirmed, baseball.
Did I say football?
Yeah.
Oh, you know why? I don't think I can actually say this out loud, but we're working on a major football project, and it's been taking up my entire life.
Subliminal.
I think it's very liminal. I think it's right at the front of my head. So, yeah, it's not a podcast thing. It's but every waking moment of my day is dedicated to it until Friday.
Super liminal.
Good times. Yeah, exactly. Extra liminal. On today's show, a lot of stuff, a lot of fun stuff. I think the biggest headline is Leody Tavares was called up by the Rangers and started 2 days in a row now. So you're welcome. If you picked him up a month and a half ago when we mentioned his name on a show.
We've talked about him quite a bit, and you brought him up a couple of weeks ago. I read an interesting article that said, I think it was Levi Weaver who wrote this in The Athletic, saying that they were holding him down until he was ready to come up and stay up for good, that was their plan. And then Eli, and it was like, yeah, he's kind of ready, sort of ready, but we want to make sure he's fully ready. Then Eli White goes down with a fracture, and there he is. But so with that information, you got to think that Leody Tavares is up for good unless he really struggles.
I mean, this Texas Rangers depth chart is something to behold, man. This is a playoff team. We like that?
Here's
guys,
the thing.
Come on. Yeah.
I like your optimism in general. Like, your optimism brings me joy. The Rangers are this weird second place team that no one talks about. And they're not bad, but no one really seems to believe in them. On the outside, you're the first person I've heard make any suggestion this team has a possible path to the playoffs. And I think with expanded playoffs and the way the league is right now, it's not out of the question. But I look at that roster and I see them having taken a pretty big step forward from where they were, having a few young players like Tavares coming back, like Ezekiel Duran getting an opportunity, guys that are pretty interesting players, but I think they're still a few pieces short of being a team that we see playing in October.
But they'll make those trades, though. I mean, if they're close, this is the thing. Like, I think the Rangers, pointed in the right direction, have some pieces where they could make some nice trades and get some stuff back. I mean, look, Ian's guy, AJ Alexi, still can be called up. Last I checked on Kohei Arihara, he was actually having an okay year, and nope, not anymore. He's up to 5.40 ERA. But only 1.31 whip. Forget about him for a minute. Glenn Otto, when he's over COVID, and hopefully this is a quick one and not one of those weird two-month ones. John Gray, our guy, having a great year as a pitcher. Spencer Howard, also not doing amazing in the minors, but could straighten some things out. I mean, they have pieces they can call up, but B, they have pieces they can trade and bring in.
I also like the way they're doing it. Like, I kind of like...
What if they trade for Frankie Montas?
No, it's all right. That's an interesting idea. That would help a ton. But what I like about what they're doing is like they're giving guys chances to come up, play, see if you can make your mark. And if you can make your mark, you can stick. They've got Brad Miller, who Wilson Caraman and I picked up on Monday to go right into our lineup in Devil's Rejects. So it was like, you know what? He's got six righties this week. Yuli Gurriel is struggling. Let's put Gurriel to the bench. Pick up Miller. Put him in. For the week, they've got like a lot of interesting little pieces. Jonah Heim, a catcher that I really like, and Sam Huff. I mean, I think DVR really likes Jonah Heim too. I mean, Simeon's starting to hit. Seager is solid. Adulis is actually Adulising, which is awesome. And Cole Calhoun has had a bit of a resurgence, though he's sort of fallen off a little bit. And Nathaniel Lowe, so like, has really been great lately. So like, they got a lot of nice pieces. DVR's guy Josh Jung is coming up. Will be back eventually.
I don't know, this year. What, didn't he tear up his shoulder like beyond this year?
I thought he had the possibility of coming back. But like, even if he doesn't, he'll be back next year for sure. But like, Solak is still there. Like, they've got some decent Bubba Thompson. So like,
is what I'm saying, man. Trade Bubba Thompson and a couple guys for Frankie Montas.
Well, all right, yeah, I guess you'd have to. I mean.
Angry Willie Calhoun.
Willie Calhoun, I think, has already been DFA'd.
Yeah, but he passed through waivers and he's just hanging out.
Yeah, I mean, sure. Send him to the A's. Send Clint Frazier to the A's, too. Everyone should go to the A's. Although Christian Bethencourt is on the A's, and we're going to talk about him later because I love Christian Bethencourt because we talked about him at the beginning of the season. But yeah, so I like the trajectory of the team, you know? I do. And they're obviously trying because they gave a lot of money out to those two guys. I don't know. It's not impossible. They're fun to watch. They're a fun team. They need another pitcher.
DVR, right? I mean, come on. That's a fixable problem.
More pitching? I think the problem with needing more pitching right now is that most contenders need more. So the cost in terms of what you give up long term is going to be a lot. I think if they were going to add players, it wouldn't be rentals. So someone like Montas could make sense because he becomes a free agent after the end of next season. So it's not necessarily a team that's going to push chips in as looking for rentals. I think they could make a few trades and still play the middle. I think they look at the young core they have, some of the prospects that they don't want to trade, guys that will likely be on this team by this time next year. You know, Young will be completely healthy by then. He'll be up.
He'll be playing.
I think you look at Jack Leiter, he could be up. Mm. You could look at someone like Josh Smith who came up and got hurt. He should be playing a regular role on this team. Owen White could move up a couple levels and probably be a big leaguer by this time next year. Cole Wynn, and they have other prospects other than those players too that are maybe a little further away, and I might even be missing a name or two. So they have a bright future. I think they could be, think about the Mariners where they were this time last year. Even if you don't see a Julio Rodriguez type player in the Rangers system, they've got that wave of young talent coming. They might hang around longer than people think. They're more watchable than people realize. And there's probably a little more fantasy value for some of these names that get opportunities as they get these chances because the lineup is not bad.
Dude, this is the team that went out and got Corey Seager and Marcus Semien and spent money and was like, we're not screwing around. I think like if they're one pitcher away, they're going to do the trade.
Maybe. I mean,
and this is a team that can, and they could roll. I mean, they could, you know, you got John Gray anchoring the rotation, I guess. And you got Martin Perez, who's crafty. You know, Dane Dunning's up and down. You know, I guess going out. But I mean, like, imagine adding one more very good pitcher to that mix. That's a team that could go a couple rounds.
I mean, they could win. They could win the, bless you, they could win the wild card. Dustin Harris is a nice little minor league piece, too. Justin Foscue, who I learned playing OOTP.
Yes.
So, yeah, it's an interesting team. It actually looks like the arrow is going up for sure. It feels like the arrow is going up, and that's good. You know. Also, I talked about Matt Moore a couple of weeks ago on the show. He got his first save the other night. Now Barlow was he had pitched 2 days in a row, but Barlow has also struggled. If you can pick up Matt Moore. If you have like that a weird kind of like giant roster or it's an AL only, I'm telling you, Matt Moore, he's pitching well. He's pitching baseball well. He's doing good baseball pitching.
That bullpen, I don't know if you guys are Greg Jewett fans, but he's been talking about that bullpen for a little while. They got a Jesus Tinoco who just got, I don't think he just got called out. He just came up a little while ago. He's been striking a ton of people out. It's a good. I mean, Matt Bush is pretty amazing for 36 years old.
Matt Bush apparently on Eno's
Barlow LeClerc's coming back.
Yeah, LeClerc. Wow. On Eno's Stuff Plus, Matt Bush was I looked at it the other day, and Matt Bush was really high. He was really high up on that Stuff Plus list. As is Barlow.
It's for those of you in holds leagues.
Well, yeah, but it's always like it depends on your format because it's all about like stashing and streaming at this point. And like who you choose to stash every week matters, right? Because they turn into something good. Hard to know who to stash. Truly, actually, though. But Matt Moore, I don't know, something about it. I was like, yep, there it is. Matt Moore with a save. And kind of did it easily, too. Like, didn't really struggle with it. So, yeah, Rangers, interesting.
Hey, speaking of stashing, let's talk about streaming. You had that up on top of our rundown.
I did. I'm kind of just, Rob Merschak and I are, we're in the main event and it's going really well. And we're trying to decide who to start every week. And I just was curious with you guys, DVR, start with you and then go to Nando. DVR, when you're deciding between pitchers, what do you use as like your guide? Like I'll say mine at the end, but what do you do to make the decision between, we had a decision to make between Jordan Montgomery in Toronto this week, coming off a 7-inning like masterpiece the other day, but in Toronto, And then, hold on. It was Montgomery or Corey Kluber on a two-start week. At home, away at the Yankees, and then away at Baltimore, and then Joe Ryan coming off of a coming off the COVID IL, and Cole Irvin against the Royals at home, and we had really one spot, and Michael Lorenzen at Seattle. So we got a lot of good pitching on this team that we can really choose. And Hunter Green is killing it. Spencer Strider's killing it. But what do you do to make that decision? And then I'll share what I did at the end.
Usually the volume, if you have the one spot and you get the one guy with two starts and he's not a bad pitcher, Corey Kluber would probably have got that spot for me. There are situations where maybe you're protecting ratios later in the year where you could talk yourself out of it, but I think that's where I would have gone. I think the main thing I'm looking at is opponent quality. And in that case, for a two-start week, first matchup was bad, but the second matchup was, you said, Royals, wasn't it?
No, second matchup was at Baltimore.
At Baltimore, right? Yeah, another bad team. So there's a handful of bad offenses. The Tigers, the A's, the Pirates, the Rockies, at least when they're not in Coors, the Diamondbacks. I think the Reds are starting, now that they're healthy, maybe to inch their way out of this group. The Royals and the Orioles and the White Sox with all the injuries they have. Those are teams that you're genuinely trying to use pitchers against as much as you possibly can. So I think the way I look at it for a two-start week, if you've got a split where you've got teams that you're trying to avoid at the very top, Yankees, Mets, Dodgers, Jays, Twins are probably there, Astros are there. Those matchups can balance each other out. Like one really tough matchup, one really easy matchup. It's kind of like having two in the middle that you'd be pretty comfortable with.
Is that right? Is that how you think about it? I'm glad I brought this up because that's not how I think about it.
Because you're stuck with both, right? Yeah. I mean, you can dominate a bad lineup just as easily as you can get knocked around by a really good one. And you can pitch fine in both, or you can pitch well against the good team and pitch poorly against the bad team. Like all of those outcomes are very possible. So I just try to balance it out and look at it that way. And if you want to quantify it, the Yankees are 20% better than a league average lineup right now. And if you look at the absolute worst lineups, only two teams are as bad as the Yankees lineup is good. The A's and the Tigers. Like if you want completely even counterweights, looking at WRC plus, right? There's that much of a gap between those teams. But again, we're talking about other teams within that range, teams that are 10% better than league average offensively. And again, Mets, Dodgers, Jays, Twins, Astros. Mariners are in that group too. Not a team you think about staying away from a streaming perspective, but maybe one you should fear a little more than you do. Those teams are okay to throw certain pitchers against. It's figuring out where the intersection of pitcher skills and opponent quality meets, right? That's more or less what I'm trying to solve. So Jordan Montgomery, I think, is a reasonably difficult pitcher to figure out because the Jays matchup is tough, but is Jordan Montgomery an average starter, a slightly above average starter, a well above average starter? Like where, how good is he? I'm not asking whether or not he is good, but how good is Jordan Montgomery? What's the trust level? Do you start him against the elite of the elite? It really depends on the alternatives. In your case, you've got plenty of good alternatives. So I wouldn't have used Montgomery. Mm-hmm. I most likely would have used Kluber. Some of those other names, I think Michael Lorenzen has pitched better than people realize.
So much better, yeah.
I don't think that's where his baseline is, even though I think his baseline is probably better than I was giving him credit for. So I wouldn't have played him in that spot. But the main thing I'm looking for the intersection of opponent quality and player skills. And players like Montgomery, I think, can be very difficult if you only have one other alternative. And they might have a very similar situation. You know, you might have, you said, Joe Ryan. Right, probably less skills than Montgomery, but really good results so far as a big league pitcher. And his matchup was against Seattle. So choosing between Jordan Montgomery and Joe Ryan for this week was actually a really tough decision if that was, you know, a scenario that you had.
All right, so I have so much to say, but Nando, you go first.
No, go ahead, man. I don't have much to add. Like, I do last 15 and look for strikeouts. Go.
Great. All right. So, okay. I think that there's a psychology thing on my part that I'm frightened of. And it all goes back to Joe Ross. Remember last year?
I do.
So I'm Joe yes. Ross. I am smart and Joe Ross is the man. And Joe Ross, everybody. So he's got a two-start week. And he's pitching Monday and Saturday. And on Monday, he gave up 10 runs. Remember? I got Joe Rossed.
It was like the Gomber.
It was the Gomber. And then the week from Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I was in pain, suffering, sadness, and fear, where I just went, oh my God, I can't believe I'm going to have to watch this happen again. Now, it turns out he ended up pitching, if I remember, the second game. I think he pitched great. He gave up one run in six innings and kind of got a little bit back. It was still a disaster, but not quite as bad. But it's that fear of the week of waiting that concerns me. So like Carlos Rodon last week had been struggling before, you know, and then had an easy start at the beginning of the week and then had the Dodgers at the end of the week. I'm more apt to do a two-start week. If it was Baltimore first and then the Yankees, I probably would have pushed harder for Kluber, right? Hmm. Because I would have thought, all right, well, he had success, and then, you know, we've got trouble at the end of the week. We'll deal with it when we get there, and then, you know, it's a fresh start. So I think that played a part of it. Also, watching the Yankees all the time, just they're so, like, they came off a weekend where they scored, like, 18 runs, 12 runs. And I was just like, eh. So that was an anxiety. Lorenzen, the reason Lorenzen was a no-brainer for me is because I just love watching his confidence on the mound. He's the most confident pitcher, I think, going in baseball. Strider also has that same level of I'm the man. And I think it has to do with Lorenzen being so stacked, like he's just ripped and strong, that I just feel comfortable. I feel confident. And so much of the choices that are made at the end are me just sort of sitting, Rob and I, but if I'm doing it on my own, I just sort of think, what am I going to feel like while I'm watching this guy pitch? What is my level of anxiety versus my level of confidence? And watching Jordan Montgomery go seven innings the other day and be dominant and just sort of looking like the Jordan Montgomery that we imagined he could be. It's like, you know what? I'll go down with my guy. I'd rather go down with my guy. Kluber was very much on the conversation. Joe Ryan, Mershak has a thing that I'm sort of coming to now, but it's like, you know, everyone has like their thing that, and one of Rob's things is that he does not like to start a pitcher, no matter who that pitcher is, in their first start coming off of injury. Like, that's just a rule for him. So, you know, we go back and forth. We're very good partners. And it's like, all right, well, what do you think we should do? And he'll say, well, how should we play it? And I know that that's how he feels about it. So Ryan sort of was out of the equation. It's like, let's let him get his feet wet again. He's been out for a while. He's been out for 3 weeks, almost 2.5 weeks. So he wasn't a consideration. Strasburg has been a disaster. I don't want to talk about Steven Strasburg ever again. I am now, along with everybody else, going, Strasburg, you stink. Not personally, but just, you know, you can't trust him. So we did end up going for the week. Tanner Scott, who we picked up 2 weeks ago for like $30. Darvish, who was awesome the other night. Taylor Rogers, who's killing it. Soto, who's killing it. Logan Webb, who was awesome last night. Hunter Green, who is, guys, if he's available in a 10-team league, Hunter Green, you must pick him up. He is dominant when he's good, and he's more good than bad. I mean, his stuff is electric. You get why he's the second pick in the draft. Spencer Strider, and then the bottom two were Montgomery and Lorenzen. And I, you know, we'll see what happens. Kluber certainly showed great last night. So if he shows again, and if either Montgomery or Lorenzen gets beaten up, we'll take the hit. I'll take the hit on it. We'll take the hit on it. But that was the mindset, and it was just I really appreciate what you were saying about the two start weeks. And then if it's just one start DVR. If it's just one start, do you look at the opponent more or do you look at the past couple of weeks more and what the pitcher's done? If you had to, if it came down to that.
I still look at the opponent, but I'm thinking about how healthy that team is also. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, the White Sox are a good example of that. Even the Reds, just with all the injuries they had when India was hurt, when Votto was unavailable, yeah. When they had that lineup that was just mostly quad A players. 4-6 weeks ago, it's been a little while now, that was a lineup you could pick on even in their home ballpark and you weren't going to get punished for it. Now I think they might be a little bit of a misleading sort of trap team because the season results to this date are not that good. They're 10% below league average, but they're probably a league average offense the rest of the season or close to it. So at least in their home games in Great American Ballpark, now that we're in the very hot part of summer, that's a team that I'm less likely to aggressively stream against than I would have been, you know, a month ago. So it does change a little bit, but I prefer, if I only get one bit of information, opponent results matters more to me than recent pitcher performance, because I think the recent pitcher performance can be heavily skewed by a very good or very bad stretch of schedule.
Nando, can I?
It's not summer yet, technically, DVR.
Feels like it. See, last day of school, last day of school. Today's literally spring. Last day of school. It's great. Nando, can I ask you this? Because
did you guys have a crazy huge moon last night?
Yes, we were.
That was awesome,
wasn't
it?
Unbelievable. We were at the Philharmonic Park, like at Van Cortlandt Park. The Philharmonic did a concert with fireworks at the end. We brought our dog, which was a mistake. Never bring a dog where fireworks are being going off because they will go insane and scared. But the moon was that, you know, twice a year harvest giant moon. It's a strawberry moon, they say. In astrology, it's a big deal. A strawberry moon. Go look it up if you're interested.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Nando, I want to ask you this because you're super smart on this stuff. What do you do about a guy like Brandon Drury, right? Brandon Drury is one of the top, 40 players in the game right now for his stats. Would you in a redraft league go and buy him, or would you be afraid of the regression? Or would you say, you know what? Someone's going to trade him because they want to sell high. They'll take my Tyler O'Neill for Brandon Drury, right?
No.
Or someone,
you would give up Tyler O'Neill.
No, not
Brandon Drury.
No. I mean, a week ago, would you have DVR? Would you have considered giving up Tyler O'Neill for Brandon Drury a week ago?
Not quite, but
maybe before he came back.
How much is Tyler O'Neill's value down now compared to draft day, and how much is Brandon Drury's value up?
Like, okay, I got a better one than Tyler O'Neill. How about Alex Verdugo?
Perfect. Great. Okay.
I think that's in the range.
It is better.
Same boat without the massive power upside.
Right. And, well, O'Neill, also the thing that makes O'Neill interesting to me is the stolen bases. But Verdugo, okay, great. So you have Verdugo. Perfect. That's a perfect one. You've got Verdugo. The guy's like, hey, I'm interested in trading Drury, who has second base eligibility, third base eligibility, outfield eligibility. He's awesome. Batting second in that lineup, playing every single day, finding a way to get him in the lineup. Do you go out of your way to trade Verdugo to get Brandon Drury? You paid in an auction, you paid in a 15-team mix, you're paying $12 to $13 for Verdugo, and Drury was a reserve pick. Do you say, give me the guy who's good and hot now, and I'll give you the money? Or do you say, no, I'm going to stick with Verdugo, he'll turn it around, and Drury's going to turn back into a pumpkin? What do you do with that? I don't know.
Well, like specifically with Drury, I think I would be okay taking him because he's the same guy that we thought Colin Moran was going to be. Like the Reds have a ton of playing time. You know, there's room for him. Even if Jose Barrero finds his way up there, Drury, I think, is still going to play and hit.
Yeah, he's going to play.
You know, he's done it before in a small park with Arizona like many years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think the skill is there specifically with Drury. And I think the playing time and the opportunity is going to be there. And I think they'll just cool off a little bit, but. You know, not to 213. You know, I think it'll still be like 255 with power when the dust settles. I've got no problem doing it. Specifically with Drury, I got no problem doing it. I like Verdugo, even if he turns it around, is just a batting average turnaround and maybe some runs and some RBI maybe because of that lineup. But that lineup's not the same as it was like last year, the year before. So, yes, I would give up my Verdugo for Brandon Drury because I'm not afraid of Brandon Drury in this instance. There are some other players I wouldn't do it, and I'd wait for Verdugo to turn around and hope he becomes, you know,
the
18-homer guy that I was hoping he would be with a nice average. But for the right player, I don't mind. I don't mind doing it.
DVR?
In this case, I see enough that's improved with Drury where I'd consider it. I think it'd be more of a I'm looking for power, looking for a power boost, trying to make a simple challenge trade. Maybe the other manager needs more floor in terms of batting average, because I think Verdugo still probably wins that category. But the things that have changed with Brandon Drury, at least compared to the last couple seasons that we saw him with the Jays, I mean, first and foremost, most importantly, regular playing time. But in the underlying numbers, he is swinging less at pitches outside the zone than he has at any point since 2018. That bodes really well. His barrel rate's at a career best 12%, miles ahead of where he's been to this point. And we started to see the uptick in hard contact from him a year ago during his brief time in the big leagues with the Mets. So he's hitting the ball harder. He's hitting the ball in the air. And he's making better decisions on swings at the plate. And because of that multi-position eligibility, because this team, even if the offense is kind of getting back to something close to league average levels, they're much more likely to be trading players away than adding any players to the deadline. His playing time looks really safe right now. So I think it's pretty close to even. It's just kind of a different way to get, let's say they're both $12 players the rest of the season. It's a different way to get that $12.
Roger that.
We just get to offer. I mean, what is this? Do you have a Brandon Drury?
No, I was just thinking about
thing going on.
I was just thinking about how much I like Brandon Drury and how I remember when he was on the Mets like 2 years ago and he was up for like 2 weeks and just killing the ball. And then he got hurt again. And it was like, oh yeah, this guy, Brandon Drury. And then also he's bigger than I thought. I think I thought of him as like a little dude, but how DBR, do you have his height and weight right there?
Tail the tape, DVR.
6'2", 230.
Yeah, I mean, he's a big dude. I think because he came up playing second base most of the time when he first started, I always thought of him as like, 5'10". And then, I don't know, something about the name Brandon Drury. I was like, oh, he's a little guy, you know, a little dude. But he's not so little. He's kind of a big dude. You know what I'm talking? I'm just saying, like, he looks big in the box. He's a monster. They're monsters in the box. And then the other question or point that I wanted to bring up before we get into different players, and Nutta's got a great list of players.
Well, I actually have a – hold this thought.
Sure, go
hold
ahead.
My thought. I got a 6'2", 230 guy we're going to bring up in a minute. But go ahead. I really do. I have – it's like when he said it, I'm like, is that – that's – I read that last night. He's 6'3", 220.
Is it just me or is there a time in the season every year where it's sort of easy to get closers? We spent all offseason – now, NFBC is its own thing because you can't make trades. You can't do everything else. But it always seems to me like, you know, I can't get a closer. Oh, my God, I got to get a closer. Then sometime in June – closers show up and they're like 30. They're like 30 bucks.
Time to do the sit-ups. Let's go.
That's a phone call. And it's like 30 bucks for Tanner Scott that you can just get him. Right. Or maybe a little bit more like in different leagues, like 60 bucks or something, or Diego Castillo for 25 or Tanner Houck. Like we picked up in GDD, Tanner Houck and Tanner Scott over the course of the last couple of weeks and Sir Anthony Dominguez. It just feels like, and it feels like it happens every year. It's like, can't get a closer. Now I got six and then I can trade them. DVR, do you know what I'm talking about? Or am I just in my own little world on this?
I feel like it's been difficult to get closers who have stuck for the most part this season. I don't know if I have a seasonal window where more become available. And I think maybe part of this right now is just that a lot of those teams are mixing and matching a lot. I mean, of the three names you mentioned, Tanner Scott, I think is the most interesting because
he's got the job.
Anthony Bender wasn't great before going on the IL. Mm-hmm. He had enough bad outings where he left the door open to just lose the job while he was hurt. And Scott could just take it
He's the guy.
They've mixed and matched a lot less than those other two teams. The Mariners mix and match a lot. It's not just Diego Castillo. It's Paul Sewald. And we know they've got a deep enough bullpen where they can go to Andrés Muñoz and anybody else they like situationally if they want to get a save that way, too. Boston is a total mess for saves. And Houck, are they using him in the right role? Do you guys not like him more as a multi-inning, even if he's not a full-on starter?
No.
Doesn't he seem like the kind of guy you would put as a follower? You'd throw a lefty out there to get the first, you know, get the first inning taken care of, then bring in Houck to go through the lineup twice.
I get it.
And then get to the bullpen.
I get it. But the problem with the Red Sox, if you look at the games, like they've lost so many games in that last inning. Like you need a closer on a baseball team. You just need somebody that you can trust. Or I guess the Rays have their way of doing it. And I guess the Mariners have their way of doing it. But you need somebody who has this is an old WWF, intestinal fortitude to stand up on that mound in the ninth inning, up two runs or up one run and get through it. Like it takes a certain personality to do it. Hector Neris can be awesome in the seventh inning. You throw him in the ninth, he's gonna give up a run. Craig Kimbrell, He's lost something, man, because every time is an adventure. And then they brought Hudson, right? That's his name, Hudson?
Daniel Hudson.
Yeah, they bring Hudson in, and it's like, all right, well, maybe Hudson's going to take it. And he goes in. He's been lights out all season. He gets into the ninth inning and gives up two runs. It's like, it's a different time of the game. Like you need something special. And I like Hauk. I hate saying that name. I don't like how it sounds. I don't like saying it, but I think Hauk should be at the back of that bullpen. And that's not just because I've picked him up in a bunch of places, but I really think, like, if you want to win baseball
yes,
games,
it is. Admit it, it is.
Well, partially, but also if you want to win baseball games, like Hauk is your best bet to win baseball games. And he's a badass, man. I like that energy. Nando, what do you think?
About the back end of the Red Sox bullpen or just Hauk?
No, about this whole idea of the relievers.
Well, I think I'm tainted a little bit because I edit Greg Jewett's column every week. And you read everything he writes. And this isn't like a sales thing for the Greg Jewett column, but it is like he is the best. And I don't feel bad saying it. This is not hyperbole. He is the best relief pitcher writer in the world, maybe, which I find interesting, like to say, and to know like that dude is the best, like Zach Hample's the best at getting balls. This guy's the best at writing about relief pitchers.
Dude, there's a guy in Sweden writing about relievers who is up there though. Just so you know.
Maybe,
guy,
but he's number two.
Sven. Like, Sven in Sweden. So, I mean, you could say in America, but there's that guy in Sweden. People are talking.
So I'll do respect to Sven. But this is like, it's so deep and it's just so, he's right and he picks up on the trends quickly and he's on top of everything and he's just got like all these charts and everything and it's just so good. And so like, yeah, like speculation is something that I haven't had a problem with because, you know, a couple weeks ahead of time, he's like, you know, look out for this guy in the top, you know, he just, in this week he went through why Michael Fulmer's going to get traded and, Soto probably won't. And Soto probably won't, and that's why Soto's the guy you want in the back end of the Tigers rotation, Tigers bullpen.
And Soto has been excellent. Soto has been fantastic. And if you listen to us over the offseason where we were saying Soto, you did well for yourself because his stuff has been awesome, and he's been controlling it. And he's giving up a base runner a game pretty much, but that's it. And he's winning tight games.
He has these turbulence categories. He compared them all to, like, you know, flying on an airplane, there's turbulence. And so, like, you know, the majority of them are low turbulence where it's the guy and then the next guy and then the next guy. And it's like Boston is all the way at the bottom on like the crazy, like highest turbulence possible.
Plane going to crash.
Every week. It's just like Boston is a mess. The Boston, Tampa Bay, like they're in a category of themselves because they're just Cincinnati. They're just a mess. Even like Cincinnati's not getting any saves, and then they can't decide who they want to get the saves when it comes.
I think that's wrong. I think you should have a closer. I really do. I think it makes your team better.
I mean, that's
that's my opinion.
Fantasy guys.
Maybe. And I'm going to bring up just one more thing because I'm curious, Nando and both of you. I really want to hear what both of you think. My partner, Wilson Karaman, a week ago, as we were getting ready to set our lineup in Devil's Rejects, he said, he's a Red Sox fan, like forever, his whole life. I'm a Yankee fan. Like it's a Yankee fan, a Red Sox fan. Like I don't like talking crap to people, but he talks so much crap when the Red Sox have won World Series and stuff. Anyway, so right before we have Nestor Cortez on the team, Cushing and Ari Sunshine dropped him and we picked him up in the draft. It was really kind of fun. Sorry, Cushing.
When did they drop him?
They dropped him. No, they only could keep 28 guys and he was on the bubble and he was like, and then I was like, yo, we got Nestor.
He's on the bubble of 28. Well, I guess in the preseason, people were like, he's not going to make the rotation, right?
Yeah, we got him in the third round. We got him, Rob Mershak and I got him in the fourth round of GDD. He's carrying us in GDD.
You guys wouldn't let me keep him.
Because he was on the bubble for 28. Anyway, Nestor Cortez, he says before, he goes, Nestor Cortez, man, when is he going to stop being so great? Like, I'm so sick of it as a Red Sox fan. I said, dude, he's like giving us like 8 innings a start. Like, we want him to keep doing that. He's like, nah, no. And so then I spoke to him this Monday as we're setting the lineup. I was like, you happy with yourself? Like, you see what you did to Nestor Cortez? He's like, yeah, actually, I'm pretty happy. I'm like, dude, this is our team. He said, yeah, we have Aaron Judge on the team. And he says, I said, aren't you happy when Judge hits a home run? He's like, no, not at all. I'm like, you go to our score. Judge, it's an OBP league. He's like, I hate it. I'm happy to have the numbers, but I hate it. I'm like, we have Rafael Devers. Rob and I have Rafael Devers on our main event team. Every time Rafael Devers gets up, I want him to hit a home run. I don't care if they're the Red Sox or the Yankees. He was like, that just shows your character. And so I'm just asking you guys, he didn't really say that, but that was the vibe. I was judging his character. DVR, when you're watching a game and your beloved Brewers are there, and you got a guy from Maki or from another league, Maki, where you and I are fighting it out, and Chris Pods is coming up, but DVR, I think you get the lead right now. Are you rooting for the guy against the Brewers who's on one of your big teams, or are you like, no, always a Brewers fan, doesn't matter to me?
I care so much more about myself than I do about the Brewers. And maybe that says something about my character, or maybe it's just a normal human thing. Like, this is my team that I put together and I want to win. So if I choose between me winning or the Brewers winning in the end, I will choose myself.
I will say that if it's a Yankee pitcher who I own somewhere, and I own all Yankee pitchers somewhere except for Luis Severino, which is sad, but it's the way it is. I just didn't believe he was going to do what he did. When it's that, I can balance it out and say, well, no, Devers, I don't want you to get a hit off of Jordan Montgomery because I have him in AL labor and I have him in the main event. So no, but like, it's always constant math. It's constant math. But Nando, how are you about that?
I'm not really like a fan of anything anymore. So I can separate my heart and my head.
So you're just going for the fantasy upside. Yeah.
I'm like, all right. So you guys know me. Like you make fun of me. At least you hint at it, for not really watching baseball games or not liking the game of baseball. I think I told this Yankee story before about Jason Giambi in the locker room and the realization, like, why am I cheering for these guys? And so it's kind of like, if the Yankees lose because Adolis Garcia is hitting 4 home runs, like, I'm ecstatic. You know what I mean? Like, I got that's money in my pocket, essentially.
Adolis.
Driving in Leody Taveras now. So like, yeah, what could be better? Yeah.
Really, at the end of the day, so what I should have asked instead of a Yankee fan is somebody's playing against your beloved Texas Rangers and John Gray is on the mound. How do you feel about it when one of your... So, all right. Yeah, I thought he was wrong. I thought he's wrong. I'm like, we're in first place right now and Devils by like 2 points. Finally, it's such a tough league. It's going to be so hard. There's too many good teams. So it's going to be boop, 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 boop. But, but I'm like, dude, we need every possible upside that we can have. I need all your rooting interest to go into Nestor Cortes, even when they're not, especially if they're not facing the Red Sox. He's like, I will not. It will not.
Oh,
happen.
Come on. You got it. Come on.
I know.
Then don't play fantasy. You can't have both.
Oh,
right.
I don't know. I mean, there's something about it also that I admire. I don't know. It's like, I'm partially annoyed by it and I'm partially like, these guys are real, you know. He's a real fan.
It's like I'm shopping for steak, but I want to eat chicken. Like, you make up your mind, dude. Like, it's one or the other.
I mean, sometimes you just can't have both things, so you have to decide which one do I want.
Yeah,
and it's really simple for me. I want my team to win, like the team I built. I want DVR to win. It's either the Brewers win or DVR wins. You can't have both. I'm rooting for myself.
And one more fantasy idea, like this same thing. Sorry, Nando, I'm totally taking it over for a minute here.
That's fine, man.
What do you do if you have a pitcher? Like, let's say I've got Lucas Giolito in my friends and family league. And I actually have Lucas Giolito in Maki now because I just traded for him. And then you're in another league where you're fighting somebody and they have, let's say I only have him in one spot. And the guy that you're fighting for first place has that player. What I do is, instead of root against my player, I just feel like if I own just even a piece of the player, I'm rooting for him. DVR, is that what you do?
Yeah, I don't try to have it work out perfectly where the player plays well, but not so well where I can somehow win both because of this magical sweet spot performance. I just want the player to play well.
Right. So if he's your, Nando, same for you. If you own him, it doesn't matter what everyone.
Karma's going to come back to bite you if you're rooting for the wrong thing, I feel.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's how I feel. I mean, it feels a little like...
Monkey paw kind of situation, you know?
Somebody hits a home run that I know is on another team, but I'm like, oh, well, I have him over there. All right, good. You hit a home run. You know what I mean? These are just the little mindset questions that I think about with fantasy baseball where I'm just like, does anybody else ever think about this stuff? Anyway, that's it. That's all I got.
That's it.
Nando. That's it. I mean, Christian Betancourt, but who is 6'3", 220 pounds?
Narciso Crook.
All right.
It could be Narciso Crook. I'm not going to need a...
I think it's Narcisco.
I actually misspelled it in the rundown. Oh, it's because I thought Narcisco made more sense to be rolling off my tongue. But it's Narciso Crook.
Narciso.
Is it Narciso?
Narciso.
Right. Love it.
Ooh, look at Narciso. Yeah.
I mean, look. So on a complete tear right now. His June numbers, this is for Iowa. He's Steven Gonsalves' teammate. 390 batting average, 457 OBP, 6 homers and 2 steals. And so, you know, you take attention. You know, like, oh, wow, this guy's been very hot lately. 6 home runs in June, and it's only June 15th. Not even summer yet. And then I went back and looked at his numbers, like, in the minor leagues. I'm like, you know, he's so not the greatest batting average, but not the worst OBP. Like, if a guy's got, for me, 100 points above his batting average, his OBP. So if he's batting 254 and he's hitting about 350, and OBP is 351, I'm okay with that. Like that, you know, that's a guy who has patience at the plate, can walk a little bit, whatever, whatever. And that's what he is right now. Last year he was 244 and 355. That's 100 points. Had some decent power, 14 homers last year, 10 the year before. Well, 2 years before in 2019. Has hit double digit steals a few times. You know, the most plate appearances he's had in the last, his career is 402, but in the last few years, it's been like half a season. 347, 374. So anyway, 26 years old. I'll call him developing power, or maybe he's finally arrived with his power. There's a situation in Chicago where the team's, you know, everyone's, oh, they're miserable. What are they going to do? Inject a little Narciso Crook, right? Narciso Crook comes in. Boom. Jolts the Cubs to life. Much in the same way Adolis Garcia did. Except Garcia I liked a little more because he was Cuban and he had that experience in the Cuban leagues playing at a higher level. Mm-hmm. Narciso actually went to high school in New Jersey, college in New Jersey, I guess for a minute, you know, started as 18-year-old in the Cincinnati organization. So not exactly the same thing, but it kind of reminds me of that power, I think, is real.
DVR?
Nah, I don't think so.
DVR hates him.
I mean, it's possible. Anything's possible, especially with a team that's going to move some more players and open up opportunities. And look, I've been wrong about Patrick Wisdom keeping a spot and just continuing to smash home runs despite a really high strikeout rate. He's going back to last season. He's got 40 home runs now since the start of last season at the big league level. And he has improved the K rate a little bit this year. So anything is possible for a rebuilding team.
Yo, his Twitter handle is That Outfielder. Does that change anything?
Someone called him That Outfielder somewhere along the way, and he just embraced it.
He could probably sell that for a lot of money.
He's big.
That podcast.
Yeah, so he's 6'3", 220.
Yeah, he's big in the box. I know that's my new thing, big in the box. Ooh. I mean, I don't know if the numbers and the age isn't great, right? And what's the strikeout rate like, DVR?
It's not terrible.
32% at AAA.
Mm. 32%.
What do you think Patrick Wisdom's strikeout rate was at AAA last season?
19.5.
Prior to last season.
It's got to be higher than that.
Under 30%. He was at AAA for parts of 4 different seasons. He spent like 8 games there last year, so that sample doesn't matter.
He's
but for
big.
Parts of 4 seasons, Patrick Wisdom was at AAA and he kept his K rate under 30%. I think if there's one hitter profile skills flaw that I just can't really get past, it is striking out 30% of the time or more at AAA. Like a strikeout rate at that level against that competition, it just doesn't work for me.
Here's what I'll say about Narciso Crook. A good name to put in the back of your head as an under-the-radar player, not necessarily to be grabbed right now from what I'm looking at, but keep an eye, and Nando's going to keep an eye on him. And because he has one thing I really like, he's big. I like big.
That's your Luke Voit factor.
Hey, speaking of Luke Voit, man, this week on Monday, he was heating up over the weekend, and we had to figure out a way to, in DL1, we're like, hey, you know, and we somebody was injured, I forget, an outfielder. And I was like, we're putting Luke Voit in this week. He's been on our bench all season. And Rob's like, okay, let's go Luke Voit. Luke Voit is heating up, folks. Like, if he's available in your 12-team league, he could be. He's not going to be available in a 15-team league. But even if he's available in a 10-team league, I would be in on Luke Voit right now because I think he's feeling good. I think he's feeling healthy. He's doing the little hop step that he does after he hits the ball real hard. I just want to be, you know, Luke Voit, guys.
You know, just speaking of Voit, I know Tommy Pham has become almost a joke, and I'm pro Tommy Pham.
Good, man.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I kind of into like if you wash away all the fantasy football stuff, where is Tommy Pham in terms of like fantasy goodness right now?
I want to look on the player radar. I'll tell you one thing. Tom Trudeau is constantly sending trades with Tommy Pham for pitching, and I just can't make trades with Tom Trudeau because it's too tough. But Tommy Pham is actually, I think, pretty dang good. Do we know what his numbers are? He's the number 99 player in baseball right now. That's what I was looking for.
Oh, you mean rostership? You mean his actual statistics?
Yeah, no, I've got it now. I was looking every once in a while. I look at the CBS player rater, but every once in a while I look at the ESPN player rater. Now that I'm back in my friends and family league, where I played a very famous actor named Frederick Weller last week, who listens to the show. Fred Weller, if you Nada, you'll look him up. You'll go, oh man, he's a big star. We're not going to talk about acting, but
what's his name? Fred Waller.
Fred Weller, W E L L E R.
What's the guy? Who's the guy who was a RoboCop?
His uncle.
No Mike, way.
I believe. Yeah, his uncle. But Fred and I did an off-Broadway play together 10 years ago. And we, you know, it was, anyway, not
Peter Weller.
That.
Peter Weller was RoboCop.
Peter Weller is RoboCop. Fred Weller is his nephew and is a fantasy baseball player. And I believe listens to our show every week and loves it.
DVR? How many? Yeah. 1.5, Ian, over under times DVR has seen RoboCop.
Under for me as well.
I'm going to say the over.
Nah.
DVR?
No, under.
Oh, come on.
Come on. No.
One time?
No, never. No. He's never seen RoboCop.
I bet you
he's never seen The Godfather. He's not watching RoboCop.
That stuff sneaks through.
He wasn't even born when RoboCop came out. RoboCop came out in like 1984, 85, something like that.
I feel like it's more like 89.
Maybe.
All right, hold on.
It might be RoboCop 3.
Sorry, I got to get off Frederick Weller's page for a minute.
Tommy, but Fred's a great Broadway actor, really substantial actor, really good actor, good guy, and a good fantasy baseball player. 1987, so I was in the ballpark. Tommy Pham, which you're asking me about, what you're asking us about. 5 stolen bases, 200 at-bats.
How did we get to RoboCop?
Because Fred Weller. His OBP is 346. He's playing all the time. I think he's in a redraft league. He's really good. I don't want to buy him in a dynasty league. I'm not going to pay for him in a dynasty league. I'm not going to give Yu Darvish for Tommy Pham and Tyler Alexander. Is that who it is from Los Angeles, the pitcher, the lefty pitcher? That was an offer I got this week.
I'm trying to see where I know Fred Weller from. And I'm still trying to figure out a pun name for your team with a couple Tanners on it. I know there's something in there.
Okay.
Sorry.
DVR?
If I'm not answering, that's why.
DVR, what is that? What do you think of that trade offer? I hope it's okay that I said that out loud.
You played Brian Wilson in the Beach Boys.
Yeah, I'm telling you, he's a substantial actor. DVR, is that a fair offer? In a dynasty league? Not really, right? Yeah. It's like 58-42, isn't it?
Yeah, so it's not terrible. I mean,
no.
I think the question here is how good is Tommy Pham, though? Like, fair question to ask, right? 5 for 5 as a base stealer this season. Kind of on pace for low 20s for homers. Mm-hmm. A dozen steals maybe at the end of the season. Projections have him at as high as 270. The Badax has him hitting 270 the rest of the year with a 362 OBP really and a 460 slug. I mean, that's a very good player, and that's with almost double-digit speed the rest of the way.
And he gets hurt, though. He does get hurt. Gets dinged.
It's like if you were projecting him for games, like let's say the baseline projection for a player in 162 games is like 150, right? A couple days off, a couple of bumps and bruises. 150 is sort of like the max you'd project anyone for. You'd probably project Tommy Pham for 135 or 140.
That's right.
You project him for like one short IL stint at this point. So it's like very moderate injury risk. I think he's the kind of player who in those systems won't hurt you in batting average, might help you in batting average, and he'll probably be average or better across the board. He's exactly the kind of player you should trade for because I don't think it's that difficult in general to get him. He's not a player that the person that drafted is going to be completely attached to. He's a little older. It's kind of a bad team. I think he's a good target.
But what do you think of that trade offer? And I'll call Tom before the show airs because I think he listens every week too, just to make sure to say, sorry, look, we talked about your trade offer. He offered Tyler Alexander and Tommy Pham for Yu Darvish.
No way, man. I would slap that one down like a volleyball on a low net. in a week when it's summertime.
I think the question there is like, how much long-term value does Darvish actually have? Are the strikeouts coming back?
Yeah. He's pitching great, man.
the results are good. The ratios are really good. He's only 35.
He had that one bad start. If you take that one bad start out, he's been, I mean, he had one terrible start and it was early. It was like his second start of the season. And let me see where it was. It was the second start of the season at San Francisco. He gave up 9 runs. That was really bad. But since then, like, he gave 8 innings, 7 strikeouts, got the win at Chicago, 7 innings, 6 strikeouts, no runs against the Mets, got the win. St. Louis, 7 2/3. Like, he's substantial. He's a substantial pitcher. His season stats right now are 3.35 ERA,
right? Like,
0.9. He actually is still Yu Darvish.
I think that's a little, I mean, I think Darvish, because he's got a really deep arsenal, can age better than the projections expect him to. But this is surprising to me. The bat has a rest of season projection on Yu Darvish of a 4.58 ERA, a 1.26 whip, and 93 strikeouts in 105 innings. And Tyler Anderson, who I think now is pretty safely in the Dodgers rotation, is projected for a 4.78 ERA, a 1.28 whip, 77 strikeouts in 96 innings. So slightly worse, but a really good team context, right? Plenty of wins, great bullpen depth, plenty of offense for run support. A lot of things to like there. And then, of course, you get Pham as part of the trade, too. I think it is 58-42, like you were saying before. I think I'd rather have Darvish, but I don't think it's a bad offer.
Hold on. I'm confused. I see Tyler Alexander. Are there two Tyler Alexanders?
No, there's
a Tyler Anderson.
Okay,
there's
Did I say Alexander? Because it's Tyler. I knew.
And there's a Taylor Rogers and a Tyler Rogers.
Yes, that I know.
They're twins.
And there's a Tanner Hook.
Hauk. Hook.
Yeah, there's no Tanner Hook.
There's no twins in the Rogers family anymore because they traded him. But what is Tyler Anderson looking at this year?
Taylor and Tyler Rogers are actual twins. They're not Minnesota twins.
Right, sorry, that's right.
Even though they throw with different hands, twins. They are
No, but they you get twins. What I'm saying. Taylor Rogers was on the Twins. That's why I got to, yeah, so you're dead on right. Okay, so he's 7-0 with a 3.07 ERA, 11 games, 58 innings, 55 strikeouts, 1.023. I don't know, man. I didn't like it.
It's a tough question because...
And I needed the... And look, I ended up picking up... Tom is smart because Tom looks at what your team needs. We don't talk about trading as much as we used to on this show. Like, the key thing to... If you want to make good trades, people always say to me, it's so easy to trade with you. Wow, I really enjoy trading with you. The reason for that is I do the work beforehand to figure out what they need and how I can make it good for them. So they're like, yeah, done. Totally. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Makes my team better, makes your team better. Let's make that trade, right? Tom Trudeau makes a lot of offers, but he does that. He says, your team needs OBP. Your team needs a bat. You have so much excess in pitching. This is before Eovaldi went out. And Strasburg went out again. What a pain in the butt that guy is. Jeez, I can't even tell you. But when I get an offer from Tom, I'm always just a little like, you know, it's like playing... Phil Hellmuth in poker is like, do I really want to get in this hand with you? I'm not sure I do. I'm not sure I want to play this pot. I think I'll just pass. I fold. Go ahead. You got it. You take it. No, I don't want to see your raise before the flop with an ace nine suited. Maybe someone else I'd get in the game, but no, thanks. You can move it along. Tyler Anderson. Interesting though. It is interesting. And I do like Tommy Pham, even though he punches people, slaps people. What else do we have? We've been talking a lot more fantasy baseball.
I know everyone's like, some of the people in the comments were like, oh, violence is not an answer. How can you support someone, Tommy Pham, blah, blah, blah. But like, I really want to reach out and see if he'd want to write a fantasy football column for us this year.
You could.
Because I think he would do it.
I don't think he would.
I bet he would.
Maybe. But also, it's not right for him to put his hands on another person like that. Just not right.
He told him he was going to pimp slap him, and then he's a man of his word.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think telegraphing the slap makes it any better.
And it was like a wrestling slap too.
All right.
I don't know about that.
I don't know. For some reason.
But I don't think, like, it's not like he was arrested for it. I mean, he just slapped the guy over fantasy football rules. That's passionate about.
At work.
Would you read his column?
No, I mean, no, I wouldn't, but I don't play fantasy football. But no, I, you don't do that stuff at work, man. If he saw him out at a restaurant and say, come outside, I want to talk to you, and did it. That's different for me a little bit. Not that that would be good.
That's
either.
How actors do it, right?
Actors don't hit each other. No, we don't hit each other. We give each other hugs.
Would you like? You want to rewind like 3 months?
No, there's no hitting.
The biggest story in the last 3 years is an actor hitting an actor.
Oh, that's right. But yes, and I wasn't a fan of that either. Like, don't hit people, guys. Yeah, use seriously. Your words. Walk away. Step away. One guy to step two is Edward Olivares. Go pick up Edward Olivares, please. He's really good.
I want to keep saying ridiculous things to watch you stretch for segues to things.
Well, no, but let me say this about Edward Olivares. Edward Olivares, before he got hurt, we were talking about him. We told you to pick him up. If you picked him up and he's on the IL, he's coming back. He's going to get a chance to play again. He was leading off in that lineup. That team cannot hit. They cannot hit the baseball. He was hitting 375, I think. He hits home runs. He runs. Edward Olivares.
Guy wants to trade me in my AL-only league.
Yeah.
MJ Melendez, speaking of the Royals and not hitting. But he's kind of hitting, actually. MJ Melendez for my Frankie Montas. Now, here's the thing. I'm not going to – no. But, I mean, the thing is, it's AL-only. So, if Montas gets – it's old school. So, if Montas gets traded to the National League, I don't have him anymore.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Mm. How long can you keep Melendez?
I offered him Alex Verdugo. He's a 5C. You can bring him down to 5A. But next year, when he's a 5B, I can extend him up to 2 years, which would make him 10 and then 15. They got a lot of rules in this league.
Yeah, I like all the little rules. You can get a little bit more than Melendez at that price.
That's what I'm saying. I don't want to trade. Oh, so
I think he can.
I traded McClanahan. For yes. Giancarlo Stanton.
And something else, right?
Yeah, I forget what was the other thing.
I think it was Plesac.
Yeah, Zach Plesac I got back.
Yeah. Truth?
Yeah. Always.
Yeah, what kind of response do you want?
Well, it's done. I don't need your help anymore. So I feel like you guys are in the safe zone now where you're like, you got ripped. But I don't think I did because I'm getting home runs and batting average and runs and RBI.
What place are you in this league?
I'm in fifth. And I'm within 7.5 points of first. But I'm also 7.5 points 10th. No, actually more than that. It's like 17. There's a bunch of us between first and seventh. But I've been sitting in fifth for a while. But I got like, I'm 18.5 hitting points and 36.5 pitching.
I think it's an important thing to say to friends when they're talking about something. Would you, someone told me this really wise once. Would you like my opinion or would you like support? Is a good thing to ask.
We serve the people here. I don't care if I'm the poster child for making a bad deal in my AL only league.
That's a great way to put it, though, because do you want me to tell you to get back together with the person you shouldn't get back to, or do you want me to tell you that person's a disaster for you and you should run as far as possible while you can?
That's actually probably where it was coming from. It's like, what do you need right now as a friend? Because
I think a good friend can tell you both of those things.
And also, if you share your opinion. If you share your opinion when they're looking for support, it's not going to go well for anybody. So that's why you ask. And one key thing I always do is like if I meet specifically if it's like a female friend of Nicole's or of ours, and I meet a new guy, my first thing is I always say I don't like him. I don't like him at all. So that eventually when they break up, I can say I never liked him.
you just go
that way
that
with all nieces. All cousins, I meet the guy until the wedding day. I go, yeah, I'm not a fan. Sorry. And it's like, no, really, you have to like him. I'm like, well, I don't. Sorry. Yeah. Like, but why not? It's like, so that when you break up and you're crying, I can look at you and say, I never liked that guy. I told you he was no good for you. I could be the one person who says that. So yes, Nando, back to you. Would you like, so you're saying you'd like our opinion, not necessarily our support.
Listen, we are a advice show and people are listening to us for help with their teams.
That is correct.
I think. I assume people are doing that.
That is what they're doing. And that's why we're trying to talk more about fantasy baseball today than ever. And we will continue to do so because it's fun to talk about fantasy baseball. And people liked it. Chris Dolan told me that. Chris Dolan, Lennox's dad. He said, yeah, it's a good show. It's always a good show. Another, he's a baseball player. That kid can play. I'm telling you, that kid can play. Go ahead. DVR, what do you think of the trade?
The trade is not a trade I would have made. But I do think Giancarlo Stanton has become underrated. Because he will likely, outperform his batting average projection and be good in that category. The power is still there. The run production is there because the lineup is good. I think the thing that I don't like about Stanton, that most people don't like about Stanton, is that you have considerable injury risk. So there's a chance you don't get the power that you need just because of things that are out of your control. And I think where the trade bugs me more, it's less about Stanton's skills. It's more about what you could have got instead. I still think you could have got more in terms of long-term value, especially, yeah. Right? This is a keeper league. So
it's a dynasty league. He keeps forever.
Right. So 32-year-old Giancarlo Stanton just scares the hell out of me from a long-term perspective, even if he's an underrated player that might help you in the short term. I think you had an opportunity to get a special younger player back in the return from McClanahan making that trade. That's to me why I don't like the deal, not because in the projections it doesn't directly help you in the short term. I think you left long-term value on the table.
You would talk like this to Eno.
Sure, I would.
you ask for the opinion, not the sport.
I know.
My problem with the trade is I never want to give up that much value long term for in season help, because everything is about who makes the first move in a trade, who needs to make the trade. Some of my favorite moments, like the way to make trades, is if someone has a need. I wait for a Giolito, Freddy Peralta to go down, that team, or somebody who just went down, a star pitcher, and say, okay, you want to replace your star pitcher now? You need to replace your star pitcher. They're like, yes, I do. Now they need something, because what you were coming from a position of in a place of need. You needed power and you felt, I need power. I got to make this move. Anytime I make a move where I'm like, I got to get this deal done, is always a mistake. Because what you want is a 50-50 trade. But if you're looking for your own viewpoint, you want a 55-45 trade. I think you gave 40. I think you got 42. I think he got 58. And I think that's... I think...
Yeah, Shane, but this is coming from a guy who took a dog to a fireworks show. So, like...
Fair enough. Yes. Fair. Well put. I just think McClanahan is a top five dynasty pitcher at this point. I think he's one of the best pitchers in baseball. I think he's one of the best pitchers in baseball. I think Stan, but so that's why it's a Xander. I want you to get a Xander Bogaerts back. I want you to get a, you wanted Luis Robert back, and you couldn't get that, but that's
I'm,
what
I'm
I
dealing with
get.
What I can deal with.
I get
you know
it,
what I mean?
But like, but
sometimes not making the deal is the right choice. Sometimes just saying, I don't have the power right now, but maybe I can make a smaller trade without McClanahan and I can get Hunter Renfro and I'll get lucky. Renfro will play almost every game the rest of the season. He'll hit as many home runs as Stanton unexpectedly or only one or two less, and the run production
and then you
will
hold
lag a little, but at least I got better where I needed to get better without hurting my core long term.
Yeah, but this is AL only though.
A name like Hunter Renfro.
Going back to closers, right? The tides change. That's the point, right? It's like the ocean. It's like you can't get a closer. You can't get a closer. Now all of a sudden you can get two or three closers, or you have a team that has 40 saves and needs steals, and all of a sudden you can trade Jorge Mateo and get two closers for him because they need steals. I never want to give up value for need to that level for me, because it's a league with contracts. Is that a different league?
It's a league with contracts. Yeah, this is it.
And what is the contract on McClanahan right now?
10B,
and you can extend him to a 15, 20.
Yeah, he can extend him to 15 and 20.
Got it. And then what is Stanton's contract right now?
Oh, who knows, man? I gotta pull up the page. Let's just say 32C.
All right, so not really much long-term value in the contract either. It's okay. There's a chance that Stanton was $10 in the draft a couple of years ago because he's been hurt enough, and there was actually some more long-term savings in there. That's possible.
Yeah. My team, scroll. Giancarlo Stanton, 26B.
So
yeah, so not like a great value long-term.
But I mean, I got great pitchers. So I just got Shane Baz back. Shane Baz, however you're saying that one.
I think it's Baz.
It's Baz.
It's Baz. Well, there you go. I think it's we think it's Baz or it's Baz. To give you some DAP, though, Nomar Mazara got picked, got called up the day after our show.
Yeah. How about that?
And I knew that we were talking about Nomar Mazara on the show. I called Wilson Kerriman. I said, if we want Nomar Mazara, we got to get him now because Nando sung a song to him. And Chris Marr from Baseball Pods, I was like, we can pick him up before the show comes out. We only had one pickup left because you only get four in a week. And it was between Tucapita, Marcano, and Nomar Mazara. And I was sort of on the fence. And Wilson was like, let's go with Tucapita. And I was like, all right. But I think Mazara is going to get picked up as soon as the show airs. And then, of course, the show aired. Chris, who listens to our show and tweets out about it, which we're very grateful to him about, picked him up at like 7:05 in the morning. He was like, wow, you were right. Wilson was like, you were right. I was like, yeah. I was like, after. And then he gets called up the next day. And now he's playing and he's hitting. So I picked him up in deal one. I picked him up in Maki. Like, it's a lot of fun. It's a good time to pick up Nomar Mazara, even in he's platooning some. So I don't know if I would pick him up in a 12 team, but certainly in a 15 team league, he's pick upable.
I agree.
Give you your dap on that, pal.
Well, I mean, you know, it's just me searching for home runs on MILB.com. I can't take too much credit for it. It's anyone can do it.
You have also on this list Zach Greinke.
We've gone way over.
Yeah, all right. We got two more minutes. Zach Greinke. What did you see? I know what I saw. What did you see?
I just wanted to put question mark and see what you guys thought about Zach Greinke.
He came back to his rehab start in the minors. He went four and a third, I think, with five strikeouts. Could be that he's just so darn crafty. The AAA guys don't know what they're doing. Could be that he needed a little break. In a 20-team league, he's he's in the AL, an AL-only league, I'll pick him up. I'll pick him up for sure. 20-team league, I'll pick him up, put him on my bench. I don't know if I'm picking him up in 15-team league, though, because he just doesn't strike anybody out. DVR?
Yeah, he's a streamer now in 15-team leagues, and it's basically for two-start weeks because he needs two starts to get as many Ks as a lot of guys get in one.
42% rostered in CBS leagues.
Yeah, he's available.
That's about 12 team.
But once you get that little break and you go down and you get time to think about it, who knows? He could, you know, decent stash in a big league. If you don't have to start him right away, decent stash.
Still Zach Greinke, you know?
Yeah, he's old, man. He's old.
I feel mean right now. I just feel mean.
Why?
I feel bad. I'm sorry, Nando.
What'd you do? What happened?
Don't feel bad.
I just feel mean for telling you what I think about that.
No,
I need to hear this stuff, but that's good about it, and I disagree with your take. So,
and
you know.
Support. And we asked the niece boyfriend question: would you like my support or would you like my opinion? And he said, "This is an opinion show. I would like your opinion." And you shared your opinion. I shared my opinion. We're good. It's a good show. We talked fantasy baseball. We listened. We made the frickin' adjustment.
Do you think Peter Weller has ever critiqued his nephew's dates?
His dates? I don't know. I could ask him.
Yeah, ask him. Find out.
I'll call him right after the show. I'm going to call Fred.
Did Peter Weller ever pull that Ian move?
It's a good move. I highly recommend that move. It makes your niece mad, but then eventually then it makes your niece glad. Like, you're right. You never liked him. I was like, nope, never did. He's a jerk. He was a jerk. He is a jerk. Really works. And also, most of the time, they kind of are jerks, aren't they? Guys, you know, 18-year-old boys. Very rare that you come up upon one. You're like, well, that is a fine young man. I think that happened to me once where I was like, how do I not like this kid? How do I not like that? You know what? I like him. 6 months later, he cheats on her, dumps her. She was like, you said you liked him. I was like, never again. I'm never doing that again.
He was wearing
like
a Yankees jersey.
It's like picking up Steven Strasburg.
Never, ever get involved. It's like dabbling in the trade process before it happens, too. You can't do that.
No, don't. He's fine. That's if I have upside on a kid that I meet who's dating my niece or cousin, I'm going to say, if I'm like, I really like this kid, instead of going, I really like him, I'll never do that again. Okay, he's fine. He's fine.
He seems okay.
I'm not totally sold. He's like, he's a Rhodes Scholar. He spends his weekends doing volunteer work for the home. He's okay. He's fine. He's fine. That's my new 80 grade kid.
All right. We've gone over.
Okay.
Officially. We got to go. Thank you all for joining us. We hope the show was helpful. For the guy who next week is taking his dog to Hershey Park, Ian Khan.
Yes. What?
Because dogs can't eat chocolate.
I understand.
Maybe that's just next level, you know?
I was just playing along with it. You know?
For the guy who's throwing away his Brewers caps for Team DVR ones.
It's going to be a sick logo. And fun fact, 2 degrees separation between Peter Weller and Bobby Cannavale.
We'll get into that next week. Stand by for that one. We're going to make Fred Weller and Jake Cannavale fight.
I'm pretty sure they did a Broadway show together, Fred Weller and Bobby Cannavale. I believe they did Glengarry Glen Ross together with Liev Schreiber in like 2005.
Imagine. Look at that star power.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
All right, we got to go. We'll see you later. Good luck, everybody.
Bye. Good talk.